Chapter 4. How to Translate: The Tools of the Trade. Nuts and bolts. A few basic terms. Appendix 1 lists the top 65 translation terms a translator should know about. But to discuss the nuts and bolts of translation, there are a few terms we must introduce now. Source language. The source language is the language of the original document. In other words, the language that you are translating from. Target language. The target language is the language of the translation. In other words, the language that you are translating into. While there is normally only one source language, there can be many target languages for a document. Transliteration. Transliteration is the spelling of words in one language with the alphabet of another language. In other words, one takes the words or characters from a text that uses an alphabet or set of symbols different from those used in the target language and transcribes or transfers them to the target alphabet and system of characters. There are standards and systems for transliteration. Those who are interested in exploring this topic can visit transliteration.com to learn more about the tools and standards involved in this topic. Most transliteration systems map the letters of the source script to letters pronounced similarly in the target script. If letters and sounds correspond in a similar way in both languages, a transliteration may be nearly the same as a transcription. No system is perfect, however, as it is hardly possible to reduce the variety of different sounds specific to a language to the limited graphic representation of letters existing in the alphabet of another language. Names and proper nouns can be especially tricky. Transcription. While translation is the transfer of meaning from one language to another, transcription is the written representation of speech in writing. In the context of translation, a transcription generally involves taking the spoken words of an audio or video recording and converting them into text on a page. In the field of linguistics, transcription is an integral part of phonetics, conversation analyses, dialectology, and sociolinguistics. Outside of the world of linguistics, one can find transcription used in many situations, such as the proceedings of a court hearing, a criminal trial by a court reporter, or a physician's recorded notes, medical transcription. Conference speeches are often transcribed into written texts, as are marketing surveys and consumer interviews. Converting spoken language into a written text may seem easy. Nonetheless, it still has a few traps. The difficulty or ease of transcribing largely depends on the speaker and how clearly they talk. So, if a speaker's articulation is not particularly distinct, it can be quite a difficult task to accomplish. Before the digital age, analog recordings often caused many transcribing difficulties due to poor recording quality, background noise, pace of speech, and so on. Today's recordings are primarily done via digital audio or video files that are transcribed into electronic documents. Unlike translation, in which the translator is required to engage all of their creativity and world knowledge in order to make the translated text as close to the target audience as possible, transcription allows for virtually no freedom or creativity. It should be as close to the spoken original as possible. Localization. The Localization Industry Standards Association, or LISA, defines localization as follows. Localization involves taking a product and making it linguistically and culturally appropriate to the target locale, country or region and language, where it will be used and sold. Until its demise in 2011, LISA was the organization that focused on this territory. As of this writing, LISA's archived newsletter, Globalization Insider, is still available online at lisa.org. A good translation uses the appropriate terminology geared to the right level. Localization goes beyond that by making sure that the terminology is current and that it fits the desired market. Thus, localization goes beyond mere translation, but the difference is subtle, and the boundary line is fuzzy and imprecise. For a good, thorough translator does adapt his or her work to the cultural norms, context, and reader level of the target translation. In a sense, then, a good translation involves some localization, and an intelligent translator can include localization in his or her process. Indeed, a growing number of technologies that used to be delegated to localization specialists are now finding their way into the traditional translation industry. The term localization first became widespread with the growth of the internet and globalization, and was related to the translation and adaptation of software or a website to another language, which included the software application itself as well as all related product documentation. The term comes from the word locale, which traditionally means a small area or vicinity. Many different definitions and descriptions for localization are used in the software and translation industry. In the context of websites and software, localization also involves making sure that the menus, buttons, instructions, templates, etc. are in the target language and that the software coding, such as HTML for example, are rendered in such a way that they retain their validity. Along with rendering text from one language to another, localization will normally include terminology research, editing, proofreading, and page layout. Contemporary localization often includes multilingual project management targeted to markets in different regions. These may go hand in hand with software and online help files, as well as testing, converting translated documents to different formats, translation memory alignment and management, multilingual product support, and translation strategy consulting. Tasks like these are typically managed by large multi-language localization agencies. A properly localized translation should look like a text originally produced specifically for the target market. Along with language, there are a number of other things to be considered in that relation. Paper sizes, fonts, default font selection, case differences, character sets, sorting, word separation and hyphenation, measuring units, number formats, address formats, time and date formats, long and short, local regulations, copyright issues, data protection, payment methods, currency conversions, taxes, etc. And that's just the words. The graphics, symbols, and everything else as well need to feel native to the target culture. Back translation. Back translation involves taking a text that has been translated and then translating it back into the original language. The back translation can then be compared to the original. Back translation is one of several methods of proofreading. Types of translation. Normally, one translates an entire document, but sometimes translators will be called to summarize a text or to give its overall gist. Not surprisingly, this is called a gist translation. Literal and direct translation. Literal translation, or direct translation, is when the text in one language is rendered into another language word for word, verbum pro verbo in Latin, rather than conveying the sense of the source text. In other words, each individual word in the source text is translated into the target text, while the sentence structure is often kept the same. Literal translation can sometimes suffice for understanding a text, but often a literal translation does not accurately convey the sense of a phrase or paragraph. And if the word-for-word approach is applied to the sentence structure, the effect can be disastrous. A brilliant example of word-for-word translation is a person trying to translate a text from a language he does not know with the help of a dictionary. Most language learners go through this phase. If a literal translation does not convey the complete sense, is it at all useful? Yes. There are some situations where a literal translation is crucial. For example, if an opera singer is learning a new aria in a language they've never spoken, they need to know the exact meaning of each and every little word they sing. Only a literal translation will give that information. Nonetheless, that same opera singer will also need a full translation for meaning, as he or she must understand the overall meaning of what is being sung. Not surprisingly, experts in the translation industry say that the best translations are not literal translations, but rather invisible adaptations. Adaptation translations. Adaptation, as opposed to literal translation, seeks to capture and convey the essence, meaning, and message of an original text without being literal. Adaptation is always oriented to the target readership. As opposed to word-for-word translation, adaptation is a freer approach, whereby idioms and other figures of speech in the source language are not lost in the translation, sentence structure is changed to reflect the usual standard of the target language, and literalism is avoided as being amateurish. The approach you take to your translation work depends largely on the purpose of the translation and the client's request. But whether you're translating literally or more loosely, you'll need paper tools, online tools, and computer tools. Dictionaries and glossaries. No human being, even the most erudite, linguistically talented, or brilliant, can know all the words in a language. Thus, dictionaries are crucial to the translator's trade, and good dictionaries are a translator's best friends. Before the internet took hold, translators' bookshelves used to sag with a huge number of dictionaries, thesauruses, and other reference books, which the translation professional consulted frequently. Now, those same dictionaries can be easily found online. Nevertheless, I challenge you to find a good professional translator without at least one or two written publications that they consult periodically. Dictionaries give a wide variety of the different meanings a word may have. Hopefully all, although that's a Herculean task. Dictionaries are enormously helpful to a translator's work. For example, sometimes a translator may encounter a familiar word in a source text that doesn't seem to fit in the context. Either this was a typo or an error, or the word is being used in a different way or with a different meaning from what the translator was used to. However, using a dictionary to research the word can provide the answer. There are three types of dictionaries useful to a translator. First, and most obviously, there are monolingual and bilingual dictionaries. Second, specialist dictionaries, both monolingual and bilingual, can also be useful. Third, a translator may, at times, use thesauruses, word menus, rhyme dictionaries, and other word reference tools. In addition, a translator may also keep personal glossaries that may be project or field specific. Although they are wonderful reference tools, dictionaries are often heavy and expensive. That is why in today's world, online and/or electronic dictionaries have rapidly supplanted a number of printed publications. Each language combination will have its best electronic dictionary or dictionaries, and there are some polyglot online dictionaries as well. A quick search will turn up the most useful resources here. New terms are always just ahead of dictionaries, just as new computer viruses are always ahead of antivirus software. Fields in the process of rapid growth and expansion, particularly technical fields, are especially prone to this phenomenon. Furthermore, translators are sometimes the first people to introduce a new technical word in a highly specialized professional field into their native language, the early adopters, so to speak. In these cases, it can be exceptionally useful for a translator to consult an expert in the field. One basic caveat. Dictionary and glossary authors fall into two major categories: amateur word databases and highly professional research-based work. Amateur lexicons and dictionaries may contain a lot of fresh new words and terms, as they take a shorter time to compose. Be careful. Always question their credibility and double-check new or unusual meanings. Whether online or in print, dictionaries published by big universities or research establishments are generally trustworthy, although every language has dictionaries that native speakers consider better than others. A reputable reference dictionary may cost more, but it is worth investing in books or software that will help you build self-confidence and a good reputation. As you begin to work as a translation professional, you will probably find it useful to make your own glossaries. Computers and modern translation software will help you do this. You can also use the online glossaries based on shared experience that exist on many of the translation community websites and forums. Glossaries can be tricky because the same term often has completely different meanings in different fields of specialization and different contexts. In a sense, talking about electronic dictionaries before discussing the computers and devices they can be read with is putting the cart before the horse. Let's look at that horse, or rather, at computers. Computers. Computers, a necessary tool. A translator needs to have a computer in today's world. Just as typewriters were necessary for this occupation in the past, so too are computers today. What is the best configuration? You may want to have a laptop, tablet, or smartphone so you can work while traveling or commuting. This can be in addition to or as a replacement of a traditional desktop. Invest in software that is best oriented to your needs. An Office package is something you cannot do without, and currently that is still Microsoft Office, although there are open source and other Office packages around. You will need a word processor and a spreadsheet, plus perhaps other types of Office software. Ask the online community of your peers for their advice, and if you work for an agency, they may have a required standard. Other crucial software includes PowerPoint, Adobe Acrobat, as well as an internet browser. Machine translation. Machine translation, or MT, was first invented in the middle of the 20th century. The developers hoped to accomplish the ambitious task of replacing the costly role of human experts in translating texts from one natural language to another. For decades, the power of software engineering has helped us inch closer and closer to that goal, although computers have not yet been able to master the magic of words completely. Although still far from their goal, some MT tools have made great strides and have achieved some success. They are not yet good enough, however, for a client to accept an entire translation merely produced by MT without any human interaction. What has been attained thus far in the field of machine translation should not be underestimated. Machine translations are quite impressive, and often good enough to translate simple text with a basic structure and achieve a comprehensible result. But there is still a good deal of work to do before adequate quality is achieved. Indeed, a fast-growing niche market in the translation business, particularly at the moment for freelancers working for agencies from Asia, is editing or revising texts produced via machine translation. CAT, Computer-Assisted or Aided Translation Software. Computer-assisted or computer-aided translation software provides support and facilitation of the translation process. This is a broad term encompassing a variety of tools of different levels of sophistication, from fairly simple to substantial complicated systems. CAT software segments the information in a convenient way. This also includes MT tools, machine translation software, which is used to translate a vast amount of information at one time. The purpose of CAT tools is to increase the efficiency and quality of the translation process. There is a wide variety of translation software available on the market. Some translation memory programs function as standalone environments, while others function as an add-on or macro to commercially available word processing or other business software programs. Some CAT packages provide translation clients with the opportunity to track repetitions, thus enabling them to negotiate a lower price for the translations they commission. Such clients will often require that translation providers use the specific type of translation software that they are accustomed to. CAT tools range from simple computer software to complicated translation suites and include the following: spell checkers, grammar checkers, terminology managers, which allow translators to manage their own databases of terminology, thus ensuring consistency within large projects. There are three types of things that can help translators to manage terminology in their work: professional expertise in the subject matter that is being translated, translation experience, as it helps to widen one's knowledge in many fields, terminology management and translation memory software that allows a professional to build a glossary specific to each project. This allows for consistency within and across translations for a specific client. There is a clear advantage to having good terminology management software for large projects that include repetitive phrases. Full text search tools enabling the user to check previously translated texts. Project management software, which allows translation project managers to distribute and allocate large translation projects to multiple translators, in other words, crowdsource them, and to monitor the progress of each unit. Translation memory managers, which are databases of segmented texts in a source language and their translations in a target language. TM software captures translation as the work is performed, so that the same sentence never needs to be translated twice. As a project is translated, each segment is accumulated in the translation memory. Whenever a text segment in the translation memory matches a new segment in the source document in progress, the translation memory manager suggests it as a solution. TM software is especially useful for texts that contain a good deal of repetition. It ensures translation consistency, quality, and customer satisfaction in these types of projects. Nearly automatic systems, or so-called human-aided machine translation tools, are similar to machine translation and yet allow the user to decide in ambiguous cases. Localization software tools allow a translator to deal with embedded coding, among many other issues. CAT tools help you to accomplish the following. Manage translation segments. Handle technical terms with the use of the glossary that you build. Readily achieve a translation that treats terminology consistently. Save time if there are repeated phrases or texts. Appear more reliable in the eyes of many of your clients. Attract some agencies as clients if you're a freelancer, as certain agencies will only work with certain CAT tools. It is worth saying, however, that no computer tool can replace a translator's ability to analyze and use his or her imagination. CAT software can only be the crutch on which you lean. It helps you, but just like a crutch, it cannot walk if you do not do the work yourself. A CAT tool cannot add a bit of experience or talent to your work. If, however, you are talented and experienced, it can be of great help in saving time. As of this writing, the most popular CAT tools are the following. The best-known package around is SDL Trados. More agencies use SDL Trados than any other program. Some translators swear by it. Others swear at it. Few are neutral. Note that SDL and Trados were once separate entities, but they're now joined at the hip. Deja Vu by Atril is considered very stable, and this is a very popular tool for repetitive texts especially. Star Transit is greatly liked by those who use it, although it's said to be complicated. WordFast is easy to use and free for some usage. Omega T is open source. Other CAT programs worth mentioning include CafeTran, Cat's Cradle, Fusion, Heartsum, MetaTexas, MultiTrans, MemoQ, MemSource, and Swordfish. There are other categories or types of CAT tools available to the techie or non-techie translator as well. For example, some companies take a different approach to translation software. Instead of selling a program license, they sell a monthly or annual subscription. Another mode is to make the software free, or free in its most basic implementation and/or in the cloud, in other words, via the internet. These tools include, among others, the following. DeepL, Across, Similis, Logiterm, WordBee, Google Translator Toolkit, XTM Cloud, WordFast Anywhere. Several of these are available in both freestanding and web versions. Other types of CAT tools worth mentioning include the following. 1. Alignment tools, which help align segments. Abby Alignment Software, UAlign, Align Factory, WordFast Plus Tools. 2. Terminology Management Extraction Concordance Software. The best-known software programs in this area are currently the following. SyncoTerm, AntConc, WordFast Plus Tools. 3. Localization Tools. SDL Pasolo, Alchemy Catalyst, Lingo Bit Localizer, Enlasso Localization Tools, Logiterm, LingoTech, RC WinTrans, Localize, CrowdIn, PhraseApp, TransFX. 4. Translation Memory Software. There are a wide variety of computer-aided translation tools featuring translation memory that are offered on the market. These can make a translator's life easier by managing the logistics of the translation process. Choosing a tool is not an easy task, as they all have their pros and cons. The choice depends on your potential clients and on your financial situation. The ability to build TM is a key function of most CAT tools, so it's only worth mentioning here that WordFast currently offers its online translation memory, VLTM, free to users. 5. Software for difficult formats. AutoCAD drawing files. Trans, an add-on utility. Translate CAD. 6. Project management for translators. Translation Office 3000, version 3D. CAT software will not make you a better translator. It is human-controlled and cannot work miracles. While it can make your life easier by automatically offering solutions as you are doing your work, it will not make your work faster or more consistent, unless you translate texts with a high level of repetition. Sometimes it may even play tricks on you if there is a very small difference in a sentence that seems to repeat. On the other hand, CatTools' concordance and glossary functions are effective ways of keeping track of all sorts of information that is often client-specific or difficult to find via a search engine or in dictionaries. Just like any other software or computer tool, CatTools have supporters and opponents. Many translators find some CatTools difficult to manage and problematic. Others find them extremely useful. There is no universal truth, at least where software is concerned. Therefore, a decision to invest time and money in specific CAT software should come after you weigh all positive and negative aspects, possible future projects and clients, their probable preferences, and peers' comments in online forums and blogs. Take advantage of what's available at no cost, too. Some of the tools are free, and others have free trial versions, all of which can help with your decision process. In general, though, buying translation software can be a costly decision. Don't be swayed by others' needs. Before you decide to invest, carefully analyze the pros and cons for your own usage. In some cases, working for an agency, they will take on the expense for software. As a freelancer, clients may provide access to software. If both options are not viable, the cost can be included into the translation cost, as mastering the software is part of the translation skill provided to the client. What affects translation speed? Translation is a highly time-consuming job. It can often take longer to translate a page than it might have taken to write that same page of text. Translation speed depends on a number of factors. Text complexity in terms of style, material, and level. There are times it can take as much as 15 to 20 minutes to translate a single sentence, although luckily that's the exception and not the rule. Sometimes you may need to ask someone more experienced or a professional in a specific field for help. Translators' experience. It is only natural that the longer you've been in the translation business, the more knowledge and skill you accumulate, and therefore the shorter the time it takes you to translate a document. Text layout. If your source text is simple, without any intricate formatting or tables, it's easier to zoom through. Text format. If you receive your text in a word processing file, translating it goes more quickly than if you have to read a handwritten document or a faxed page, or if you have to convert a text that's in a PDF or graphics file into a Word document. It is important to discuss format when negotiating rate for translation. Text legibility. A bad or illegible copy will slow you down. Typing skills. The faster a touch typist you are, the faster you'll generally be as a translator. Your physical and/or emotional condition. Sometimes you will have a hard time focusing while translating. When this happens, your translation rate per minute declines. It helps if you try to improve your mood. Take a nap, take a short walk outdoors in the fresh air, listen to some music, or go work out. For some people, it even depends on the time of day and on the weather. Some work faster in the morning, others in the evening. With most translators, their speed increases when there is sunshine coming through the window. Make sure you've taken care of your own needs. Get enough sleep, eat a good diet and regular meals, check the ergonomics of your workstation, etc. Whether or not you use CAT software, this can help you improve your translation speed depending on the software and your ability to use it. When they start out at the beginning of their careers, translators normally take an hour to render around 200 to 250 words, roughly one typed page, if the source text is clear and simple. Experienced translators can easily double that, and can even do more if they are under pressure. A word to the wise: few translators can constantly work at their maximum pace under pressure without becoming exhausted, and even burning out. As a general rule of thumb, an experienced translator will typically produce 2,000 to 5,000 words a day. Editing and proofreading. Once you've translated a text, you're all done, right? Wrong. Translating a text from the source language to the target language is only the first part of the job. While it's the most important part, you still need to check your work and fine-tune it for quality and correctness. In other words, once a translation is finished, it must be proofread. This involves checking for typos, or surface errors, as some people call them. You must check for spelling, punctuation, grammar, proper nouns, capitalization, acronyms, and word choice. You also need to make sure that the formatting is correct, the style and diction reflect that of the original, and the translation sounds native and not like a translation. How should you proofread? The first thing to do is check the spelling. Software is exceptionally useful here, as it will help you find errors that you might fail to see. Nonetheless, never trust your spell checker completely, as it isn't even close to 100% accurate on several levels. It won't catch homonyms or a wrong word that's correctly spelled. It also won't be able to deal with any words that aren't in the software's word list. Next, check the grammar, punctuation, capitalization, and so forth. Use the grammar checker, but follow its advice with a huge grain of salt. Once you have checked the spelling and grammar using the software, print your translation and proofread it on paper. You will be surprised to see how many small errors you find. Even when working with a team, it is a good practice to proofread your translation and double-check continuity. The most common surface errors can be grouped in the following ways. Spelling. As good as your typing skills may be, spelling errors may still occur in the raw text. Even after you have used the spell checker, you will still probably find typos when you read the printed translation. Punctuation. Here again, spell and/or grammar checkers may fail to detect punctuation errors. Look especially for double periods and commas, extra spaces, and so forth. A very tricky element of the translation process is the difference between punctuation rules in different languages. When you're focusing on building correct phrases and choosing the correct words, you may fail to focus on punctuation. As a result, you may, at times, just automatically transfer source language punctuation into your translation. It is a good idea to have a style book with punctuation and grammar rules always available on your computer or desk in order to look things up if you are not sure about the use of punctuation marks. For English language rules, one of the most commonly used grammar reference guides is the Chicago Manual of Style. If you prefer to follow MLA or APA style, two of the best-known ones for English, there are a number of online resources available as well. Use the Find and Replace feature of your word processing software to look for repeated punctuation marks, commas, question marks, periods, as well as spaces before punctuation marks that are either missing if their target language uses them, or present if a language omits them. Do not choose the Replace All option. Instead, take the necessary time to check each issue spot individually. Verb agreement and tenses. Most languages are very much idiomatic in the way they use different systems for tenses. Failure to use correct verb tenses in the translated text may make your translation ambiguous or just plain wrong. When proofreading for verb tense errors, you should check all the verbs in your work to make sure that you haven't changed tense unintentionally. In addition, be aware that some languages use passive constructions more than others. Pronouns. Check your pronouns, making sure you've used the right one in the right gender. Also, make sure that you followed the rules for relative clauses and relative pronouns, as well as gender issues, particularly when going from or to a language that attributes gender to all words. Other grammatical errors, sentence fragments, and wrong words. Make sure that you follow the rules for antecedents, clauses, and fragments. In addition, be aware that some languages are considerably more flowery or indirect than others. If your translation is too faithful to the original sentence structure, it will read like a translation. Check all names, figures, and facts, as well as acronyms. It helps if you read the translated text out loud. Your ear will detect errors that your eyes have failed to see. It's also a good idea to use your dictionary to check the meanings of words you are not sure about, and also to check the use of prepositions and irregular verb forms if you're not at all sure. Sometimes it can also help to read your text out loud and backward at the same time. This may sound awkward, but that's the point. By reading backward, you will not naturally skip over words by trying to edit too quickly. Once you've finished proofreading, the next step is editing, or, as some people call it, revising. You should edit for terminology, clarity, style, and readability in the new language. CAT tools can be a big help in ensuring consistency in terminology. Particularly in technical work, you want to make sure that the same word is translated the same way each time. You should also revise anything in which the meaning is unclear. Often the sentence will have to change for this. In non-technical translation, the terminology should be revised for stylistic consistency and word choice. You'll want to make sure that the style, diction, and overall vocabulary level match the source text. Whether you like the source text or not, it's not your job to change that text, but rather to make the translation as close to the original as is feasible. Maintaining the style and meaning of the source text while making a translation native-sounding and well-written is a demanding task. While revising, you should focus on the target language only. When you find something in the style that irritates you, check it with the source text. Another focus of translation editing is word choice. You may have used the same word repeatedly in your translation. If that is not the case in the source text, do your best to replace those repeated words with synonyms. Just as with proofreading, editing often works much better when one uses a printed text as opposed to one on a screen. There are many things you will fail to see if you only read the text on the computer. After you've edited and revised, proofread again, as you may have introduced typos and other grammatical errors. Then read through the text one last time, making sure that everything reads absolutely as it should. Finally, one other way to proofread and check a translation involves back translation. This is much like what one does when checking an arithmetic problem. Go backward from the solution to the problem. In the case of back translation, translate from the target to the source language, and then compare the original with the back translated text. Obviously, they won't be exactly the same, but they should be close, and the meaning should be the same. Even if you are fed up with a translation and bored to tears, don't skip the proofreading, editing, revising phase or cut it short. The quality of your work will suffer, and a translator's reputation can be ruined by bad quality or late work. Free bonus video content. Our team recorded a video on the topic of three types of proofreading for translators. This video was originally produced as one of the 50 video modules for the Certified Translation Professional, or CTP, program, but you can watch it for free by typing the following into your web browser: translatorcertification.com/video3/. Advanced topics in translation. Tricky issues. Some situations and types of translation are especially tricky, requiring special handling. These advanced tricky issues include jokes and puns. Humor can be especially challenging across languages and requires a deft touch. Wordplay is one of the trickiest things to translate. Curse words. Finding the exact equivalent that matches the level of offensiveness, tone, and feeling of the original can be difficult. In certain cultures and situations, a curse may be too strong for the target language and context. And yet, a translator must also remain honest to the original without resorting to Victorianisms or bowdlerizing the text. Slang and colloquial expressions, as well as non-standard language, which includes spoken language, not necessarily slang, non-native diction, regional expressions and dialects, and so forth. Getting the right flavor for these can be challenging and requires a very deep knowledge of both the source and target languages. Culturally dependent idioms. Some things just don't translate from one culture to another, and this goes far beyond idioms. A good translator finds the best equivalent. Language that reflects gender or class usage. When to make sure these differences are retained in the target language, and how to do so, is sometimes clear and sometimes not easy at all. Rhyme, meter, and scansion. These are elements of poetic translation, which is a specialty field. But rhyme, internal and otherwise, can crop up in all sorts of non-poetic contexts. In a sense, rhyme is another sort of wordplay, which we've already noted is one of the hardest things to translate. Cultural awareness. Languages are like living beings that exist and develop in their own environments. They reflect their own milieu and are, at the same time, part of a larger cultural picture. Unthinkingly transferring the context of the source language into the target language, without adequately considering the target cultural environment, may lead to ridiculous blunders and unpredictable consequences. Cross-cultural communication has become a matter of substantial importance in our world of global networking. Failure to convey a message in a way that is appropriate to the target environment may easily have an adverse effect and is, in essence, a bad translation. Global businesses pay substantial amounts of money to people who are familiar with their target market so as to ensure that cultural differences have not been disregarded, as that could jeopardize their success. Languages correlate to cultural norms, values, traditions, nonverbal communication, etiquette, religion, and so forth. Hence, retaining one's familiarity and awareness of these cultural issues in both the target and source languages and their cultures is critical for quality professional translation. One very basic example is the word ciao, which means both hello and goodbye in Italian. But in many countries, ciao is used in colloquial speech only for goodbye. Therefore, if you say ciao in one of those countries when you meet an acquaintance, it's wrong. Translators with little world knowledge might well mistranslate this expression, making far more mistakes than those translators with deep multicultural awareness. Basic skill set and background studies will be further discussed in Chapter 5. Cultural references. As noted previously, a translator should have a high level of awareness of the cultural references in the text he or she works on and the skill to transfer these references into the target language. There are a variety of approaches to transferring cultural references. When a cultural phenomenon has no equivalent in the target language, an explanation may be necessary. Depending on the translator's creativity, such an addition can either be integrated into the translated text with brackets to indicate an addition, or preferably added as a translator's footnote or endnote. In either case, it is crucial that the reader easily perceives that this is not part of the original text. The word or phrase can be retained from the source language with no changes in the translation at all, providing that the context makes the meaning clear, of course. Cultural transplantation can be used. In other words, the reference can be fully adapted to the target culture or replaced by a reference more meaningful to the target audience. One of the best examples of this is the translation of proverbs, sayings, and aphorisms. The cultural referent can be borrowed and phonetically modified in the target language. Cultural reference may be added to the target language to make the text better adapted to target readers. A simple example of this is when the word please gets added to the English translation of signs giving instructions in public places in some countries. Awareness of cultural differences comes with experience. However, it takes much longer to achieve than linguistic competence does. If a translator or linguist is unable to spend enough time in the culture where his or her target language is spoken, he or she must make a special effort and invest some time and money in developing and training him or herself to a professional level of cross-cultural awareness. Review questions. Question 1. Define source and target languages. Answer. The source language and source document are the originals that a translator works from. The target language is the language a translator works into, and the target document is the result. Question 2. What are transcription and transliteration, and how are they similar and different? Answer. Transcription involves transferring the spoken word into writing, no matter the original source. Transliteration involves taking the characters and letters from one language and representing them with letters from another language or equivalent and agreed-upon symbols that someone who speaks the second language can understand. Both transcription and transliteration involve transferring something from one medium to another, either spoken to written words or one set of written symbols to another. Question 3. What is localization? Name three types of projects that might benefit from localization. Answer. According to Lisa, localization involves taking a product and making it linguistically and culturally appropriate to the target locale, country or region, and language, where it will be used and sold. Websites, advertising campaigns, product branding, video games, and software are a few examples of projects that benefit from localization. Question 4. What is back translation, and how is it most often used? Answer. Back translation involves retranslating a document back from the target language into its source language. It is most often used as a method of proofreading and is especially beneficial as a quality control mechanism for agencies and corporations that want to verify the overall level of multilingual document translation. Question 5. Define literal and direct translation as well as adaptation. Name one situation where the same client will need both. Answer. Literal translation and direct translation both mean word-for-word translation. Adaptation means a free or loose translation, one that adapts the translated words to the overall meaning. Who might need both? A singer working outside their own language, or a musician accompanying a singer. Ideally, both need to know the overall literary meaning of a text, as well as the meaning of every single word. Question 6. Name at least 10 things to do for good proofreading. Answer. Check spelling, verb tense agreement within a sentence and within a section or paragraph, verb subject agreement, punctuation, capitalization, pronoun agreement, antecedent consequent errors, fragments and run-on sentences, other grammar issues, proper nouns, and numbers and figures, and look for homonyms. Use the Find and Replace feature of your word processing software to look for repeat or double punctuation marks, commas, question marks, periods, and spaces before punctuation marks that are either missing if the target language uses them, or present if a language omits them. Then read for content, style, and idiomatic usage. How do you proofread? Use your spell checker. Use your grammar checker. Read aloud. Read a printed version. Backtranslate. And compare the target to the source. Question 7. Identify the difference between CAT and MT. Define them both. What are 5 types of translation situations in which CAT tools can be especially helpful? Answer. MT is machine translation without human intervention. CAT means computer-aided assisted translation with a human being acting as the interface between the software and the final project. Texts with a good deal of repetition benefit from CAT tools. For example, instruction manuals, human resource documents, organizational charts, quality control standards, software programs, engineering specifications, and legal contract boilerplate, to name only a few. Question 8. Name 6 tricky issues in translation. Answer. The list includes slang, jokes, puns, wordplay, poetry, cursing, culturally dependent idioms, proverbs, or gender or class language structure that doesn't exist in both languages. Question 9. Identify 5 factors that can affect a translator's speed. Answer. Text complexity, topic, layout, format and legibility, translator's experience, typing skills, and physical condition and mental condition. Question 10. What does gist mean in the context of translating? Answer. A summary or gist of the document and its meaning.